In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Weekly Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Podcast. I'm Amy Forge, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. This week, we're joined by policy analyst Anne Finnegan, market specialist Fáilim O'Neill, and political correspondent Pat O'Toole, and we'll be discussing carbon budgets, the Irish Farmers Journal commissioned KPMG report, and CAP. And I'm going to go to you first. The Farmers Journal commissioned this report, which is an economic impact assessment of the various options available to the government to cut national emissions by 51% by 2030. Can you give us an overview of what's actually involved in it?
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Amy. So when the Climate Act was enacted into law in July, the Irish Farmers Journal commissioned KPMG to look at, first of all, a number of pathways to emissions reductions, and secondly, to look at the economic impact in terms of the impact on farm income, on economic output from the sector, and for jobs at farm level and throughout rural Ireland. So KPMG worked on the basis of, I suppose, first of all, they worked on the basis of four scenarios. At the outside, they looked at a 50% cut in agricultural emissions, aligned to, as you said yourself, the target, the overall government target of 51% reduction in emissions by 2030. They then took a midpoint looking at 30% reduction in agricultural emissions by 2030. And then they looked at what could be achieved by working with, say, the Chagask MAC and then the MAC plus existing technologies. So Chagask MAC focuses on technologies that are known, that are available and proven to have an impact on emissions reductions on farms. Last week, as we reported, there's been some speculation that the government are going to announce a target for agriculture between 21% and 30%. So in light of that, we went back to KPMG and we asked them to look at a further pathway, and that one being 21% reduction in emissions between now and 2030. So in essence, we're talking about five different scenarios with a range of different measures and different impacts.
Thanks, Anne. And Fáilim, I might jump to you on those scenarios. And Anne, please feel free to jump back in at any stage. Can you just give us an outline of what's involved in each of those scenarios and the results? Because it's quite stark. It's on the front page of the Journal this week. You know, 56,500 job losses and, you know, for rural Ireland. If you can just run us through those.
Okay, Amy. Right. Well, listen, let's start with, if you like, the bad news, the one that we're flagging up. And the reason that's flagged up is it's been recently revealed that the government is looking at a range between 21 and 30% reduction for emissions from agriculture. Now, if they did sit, if they settled on a 30% target, that would have devastating impact in terms of Irish agriculture, Irish farmers, and the wider agri-economy. You identified yourself there, it would cost 56,400 job losses, and it would be a 3.8 billion hit to the overall economy, and that would be divided There'd be 2.12 billion of that would happen inside the farm gate at farm level, basically through the cut in farm incomes, the slashing of farm incomes. And working that through, dairy farms would be down 17,500, beef farms down 2,800. And the wider processing jobs and loss of business in the economy would leave an overall hit of 3.8 billion. And we look at then maybe even the worst case scenario, what is the national target, the 50%, that gets into Armageddon altogether, because you're talking there at about 94,000 job losses. You're looking at a hit in dairy incomes of 46,400, sorry, not dairy incomes, dairy profitability or margin on farms of 46,400 euro, a complete slashing of them, 5,600 on a beef farm, which is about half the income. In that scenario, KPMG estimate that there would be about 26,700 job losses on farm, that basically farmers would give up, and 67,000 in the wider economy. So those are the two worst case scenarios. And if we maybe step back then, Amy, just progressively through the more manageable ones, the lower end of what the expectation is, government are looking at 21% reductions in emissions from agriculture. That still comes at a high price for farmers, because farmers, there's no doubt there's mitigation measures, and we'll come to those in a moment. But if the farmers take all the mitigation measures that are at their disposal, to get a 21% cut as things stand today would require a cut in the beef herd of 6%, a cut in the dairy herd of 5% in cattle numbers. And that would cause in the processing sector primarily a loss of 10,000 jobs and a combined effect of a 1.1 billion euro loss to the economy. So at 21% is starting to bite. But let's focus on the good news for a moment, if we may, Amy. The report starts off by looking at what could be done by farmers without having a herd cut to achieve a meaningful reduction in emissions. And the good news is that actually we could get to a 13% reduction by adopting the measures that Chagas have identified in their MAC curve. And not just things like, and the big wins here are to be got in the dairy sector, for example, by further developing the breeding and using the EBI index of the dairy herd. There's a huge saving can be made there. Improved animal health, something that we talk about glibly, but actually doing it and achieving it, there's an 8% gain there. Bringing in things like low emission slurry spreading, improving beef lightweight gain, better and more efficient farming, plus the adoption of new technology such as the low emission slurry spreading. If we could get that widely adopted in agriculture, it would deliver 13% saving in emissions. And the real good news is that it financially works too. It would make the average dairy farm 5,100 euro more profitable, and the average beef farm, I think, a couple of hundred euro more profitable. So that's a case of win-win all around. And if we pushed it with a few more measures that are in development at the minute and get into things like slurry storage and multi-species swards, then we could perhaps add another 3% to that. So it's not all bad news. But the bottom line, Amy, is we can get an 18% reduction without a hit on the herd. After that, as technology stands at the moment, we're into slashing the herd. And the consequences of that are job losses and a hit to farm incomes and the wider rural economy.
Phelan, I think you've covered a great base there, and I suppose the key thing is that those MAC measures are really taken up, and all eyes next week will be on the climate action, the plan that's actually going to be announced next week, where we'll find out more details. We're going to leave the KPMG report there. You can read up all about it in this week's Irish Farmers Journal and online. We're now going to be joined by Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with Farmers Journal. Pat, we were both at IFA protest last week in Tullow and Kilkenny. Farmers from the IFA were protesting over the cap that's come out. Eco schemes and front loading have really come to the fore as issues for farmers, especially in the southeast. Can you give us a flavour of what was said at those meetings and your take on it, I suppose?
Sure, Amy. Our modelling in the summer, in the paper and on the website, showed the deep effect that the combination of CRIS, eco schemes and convergence is going to have on farms. And really, we only have two legs of that table yet. We don't know exactly the outcome of convergence. We can't model that, but we can very quickly work out what's going on with eco schemes and CRIS. Eco schemes at 25%, CRIS at 10%. The IFA was looking for eco schemes at 20%, CRIS at 5% or zero. So their hopes have been dashed in that regard. And they were coming after the minister, no doubt about it. The announcement last Wednesday was a surprise that he went into so much detail in the elements of the Pillar 1 of CAP. But he also, of course, outlined the schemes in Pillar 2, and the attack from farmers was twofold. The first side of it was the fact that the direct cuts, as Francie Gorman, the South Leinster chair of IFA, said, you want to bring everybody onto average per hectare payments. A suckler farmer cannot exist on average per hectare payments. It's not viable. And the sense is that the payments are being shared with farmers who are far more extensive and have a much lower cost base and much lower capital investment requirements. The Pillar 2 schemes then in parallel are being seen as being inadequate to support those sectors. So there was a lot of cause for a review of the fact that 260 million euros is going to the organic sector, predictions that that money would not be utilised and that any unused money should be returned into a suckler payment, because the suckler scheme over the 5 years is going to get about the same amount of money, about between 250 and 60 million, which would only equate to a 150 euro payment on the first 10 cows and 120 on the remainder, which is the minister's pledge for 400,000 cows, which is even less than the current BGDP and BEEP schemes are paying out to. So farmers also are pointing out that if you combine the current payments of BGDP and BEPS, that the new proposals are a cut in payments rather than an increase in payments. There was a row over the level of co-funding. The minister says it's 60% co-funding for Pillar 2 of the CAP, up from 47%. Farmers are saying that he's double counting the carbon tax and it's only 50%. So pretty much every element of his proposals was being disputed. And even the process by which he's going around the country to march, attacked by Seamus Phelan. Now, Seamus Phelan is a former Mocha president, a farmer in Glenmore, a brother of John Paul Phelan, who former junior minister, current backbencher in the coalition. And Seamus Phelan described the process as a sham. He said that the minister should be engaging with the elected leaders of farmers and not going around in this exercise, going around from mart to mart. The IFA's National Returning Officer, Martin Stapleton, expanded on this team, and he said that what the minister is effectively doing by going around the country so extensively, he's going to hear every shade of opinion, which gives him the freedom to do whatever he wants himself and justify it. So, yes, there was anger. Not everyone in the room agreed. Patrick Kent, the former ICSA president, spoke against the IFA largely, rather than the proposals. Dermot O'Brien of the Irish Beef and Lamb Producers, former Beef Plan, the breakaway group from Beef Plan, Dermot proposed two things. First of all, flat payments, 100% flat payments, weren't popular in that room, not in Kilkenny. And the other proposal was that the minister should poll all farmers and basically turn CAP into a popularity contest. The minister was adamant he wouldn't do that. So finally, I suppose a lot of accusations that the Greens are driving the bus when it comes to CAP. And it was the one time Charlie McConlogue is a remarkably even-tempered man and very amicable. But there was a flash of anger when he was accused of that, and that he was being led by the nose by the Greens. And he said, there's only one person running the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and you're looking at him. So I think the minister is not for turning. He has offered to introduce flexibilities in eco schemes, but not around the percentage of eco schemes. Instead, it's going to be around the measures which will allow farmers to access eco scheme payments. He's not for turning on Chris, it seems, and we have some clarification in this week's paper on how much wriggle room he has. And as you know, we learn more, and as the implications of convergence become clear, I think the battle lines will become even more marked.
A very comprehensive overview there, Pat. And I suppose those meetings are continuing where the IFA are protesting against the minister and his CAP changes. I suppose the key thing it comes down to and why farmers have decided to protest is the effect of the cut of eco schemes and Chris on their payments at 25 and 10% respectively. You have a CAP calculator where farmers can calculate online or in this week's journal the impact on their payment. Can you just talk us briefly through that?
Yeah, it's very simple. if they go online, it's very simple. All they need is the total payment they got in 2021, and that is their basic payment plus greening. The only other thing they need then is the number of hectares they're farming. And if they put those into our calculator, what they'll get back is the basic payment they'll get, which will be about 40% down on the current basic payment, because of the combination of not just Chris and Eco Schemes, but also the 3% for young farmers and the 3% from the gross base that will be taken out for the National Reserve, about 40% of a cut. And then you add back in the Chris, which will be paid out at 44 euros a hectare on the first 30 hectares, and you add back in the 63 euros a hectare Eco Schemes, because we are assuming that farmers will be able to access the Eco Schemes. But it will, if you take a farmer on who's currently on 20,000, he's got high payments, so if on 40 hectares, if you put those figures in, you very quickly see how stark the cuts will be, and they are pre-convergence. Convergence will steadily cut payments more. We have to get to 85% convergence. We're currently at 60%, and we can't model that yet. The department have no coefficient to allow them to predict how convergence will affect individual farmers, but it will shift huge amounts of money in each of the years between 2023 and 2026 from the same people who are losing under Chris and under Eco Schemes. They will lose again under convergence, and the people who gain, and it must be acknowledged, between 2/3 and 3/4 of farmers will gain in payments, but they will only gain for the most part in very small amounts. Some of the farmers who lose will lose heavily.
And thanks very much, Pat. And as Pat said there, you can work out that calculator and how it'll affect your payment. You can see it in this week's journal or online. Thanks very much for tuning in this week. We'll chat to you all next week.